Do you want to feel happier? Do you want to feel more radiant and more alive? Or to go beyond alive and truly feel like you are thriving? That's what I'm here for. Helping you find that best you that you know is in there. It is. And you can start accessing that you today. It's possible. If you're ready for a shortcut to just that, let's work together. Reach out and let's work one-on-one to transform you and your life into happy, into thriving. Reach out to me and book a quick call. It's in the show notes, and let's get you there. Are you really committed and ready? Then let's do it. Personally, I'm the happiest I've ever been thanks to all the practices that I've made a part of my life. You can be too. It is here for you, I promise. You can also access my course, The Youthfulness Hack, which is all about feeling good and getting radiant and all the things I do concentrated in one spot. Go there today and use code AMY15 for 15% off right now, only for listeners of this show. And if you are truly ready to have accountability and live happy, book a call with me today. The world needs your best. You deserve your best.
Hello, and welcome to the Amy Edwards Show. I'm your host, Amy Edwards, and here we are again in our Summer of Sex series. It's the end of summer, but the series continues, and I'm just so excited because I feel like it's expanding me, and I just hope that it's expanding you. Everything that I have learned in this is something that I'm carrying forward with me, and I feel like it's expanding me in every way, which can be a little challenging at times too, but that's just part of growth. So we are going to cover that today and so much more. I'm just happy that you're here. If you haven't signed up for my newsletter, please do, because I am keeping up with everything that comes out, and you can get easy access and probably pretty early access to all the shows. So that's at amyedwards.com or amyedwards.info, and all the links to everything are there, including the entire sex series on amyedwards.info. You can find it on all platforms. So thanks for being here. And I am so excited today to welcome Zaya the Oracle. I love it. Hello. I love that you're Zaya the Oracle. I mean, you are a sex priestess. Let me first address that. You are a sex priestess, an oracle, a spiritual advisor, and a speaker. And I have heard you speak, and it was a packed house in Costa Rica, and I really enjoyed it. And I thought you had such a wonderfully commanding presence. And that was 2 years ago.
Ooh.
You know? So
yeah.
So I'm so excited to see everything that's coming for you and hear about how you're harnessing this power. So welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for that beautiful intro and that reflection. It's amazing. I feel like I'm a different person now than I was 2 years ago.
Me too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, since we're talking about sex, sexually, big time I am. Have you seen personal, let's just jump in.
Okay,
have you seen personal sexual growth even from 2 years ago? Do you go like, I thought I knew stuff and now like, whoa?
Completely.
Isn't that a trip? Completely. Don't you wonder what we're going to know in 2 years from now?
Yes. Well, and here's the fascinating part is that I have come into my sexual mastery as a single woman.
I love that. But I really feel like that's where I expanded the most too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not to say I don't with a partner a ton. It's just a little different.
It is. It is different. And because with yourself, you're really tuned into your turn on, your eroticism, your energy. Mm-hmm. Whereas with a partner, it's very easy to blend. We're merging with another person. So there's a different type of growth that can happen in that type of container.
For sure.
And it's been, you know, it's been tough being a single sex priestess for several years now.
Oh my gosh. You know what? You're just getting called higher. You're going to have it all like ready.
Oh yeah.
I mean, that's so cool. So tell me how you stepped into Zaya the Oracle. I'm very curious because that's bold.
Thank you. It is bold. And I'm actually, you know, really being guided to step forward more as sex priestess. And I've hid from that a little bit. Oracle felt really safe. Even though it's bold for the world, for me it felt a lot safer. It's prophecy, it's spiritual development. It's we can get on board with that. Whereas sex priestess is like, what? Mm-hmm. We're doing what? And so it's really been a process. I did the corporate thing. I studied fashion and French. I was a personal stylist in college. I had a jewelry line at one point. I landed in finance. I was a financial advisor for the last.
Wait, have you had time to do all this?
I know. I'm 36.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. I did not realize you were 36. You are presenting much younger. I love it. I love it.
Thank you.
Youthful. That's youthful. It's that sex glow.
It's that sex glow.
Let's be real. Totally. It's the orgasm glow.
It is. Nothing can replace it.
Right.
Yeah. So I really did that whole thing. And I kind of followed the path that was laid out before me, although it was an intuitively guided path, which is why it went all over the place. Mm-hmm. But then my intuitive awakening happened. And I was a born intuitive, but I suppressed my gifts at a really young age because it scared me. I didn't have a framework or a context. I didn't know how to talk about it. And so I shut it down. And then in my 20s, it just flipped back online and I had to figure out what to do with it. And at that point, spirituality wasn't trendy. There were not crystals on Instagram. It was not like a cultural thing, at least not that I was aware of at the time.
But you're, I guess, 7 or 8 years ago?
2015-ish
or something?
Before, probably 11 to 14.
Okay.
2011 to 2014 was like awakening, spiritual awakening type of thing. Mm-hmm. And I was in finance at the time and I knew I was there to build something to leap from. I knew that wasn't my end game. I didn't know what I was leaping to. I was seeking. And so, you know, I kind of found mentors along the way. My intuition came online and it was divine intervention. I started doing healing sessions on the side. I started facilitating miracles, not meaning to. And people were just like, dude, you've got to do this. Like, if you need a sign, this is it. You've got to do this. And I just kind of looked around and was like, wait, I checked the boxes of success. I should be happy. I should be fulfilled. But I am not turned on. I'm not turned on by my life. I'm not turned on by my career. I'm not turned on. And so I left finance to be an oracle. And it was after that my erotic awakening happened.
And well, first of all, sidebar, I just want to say you expressed that really well mm-hmm. about when you dip into different spaces, which I've experienced too, and it's part of your intuitive journey
yes.
and you don't know where you're leaping to. Like, I resonate with that so hard. And so I think a lot of people probably, that's comforting. You know,
I think
and
so
you just
too.
Expressed it really well.
Thank so, you, yeah. Especially when I talk to CEOs and founders and entrepreneurs and you know business people.
Yeah.
They talk numbers and they want the business plan, and I'm like, you know, there's a time and a place for that. But if I had a business plan, I would not be where I am right now.
Oh shit, I love.
I
that.
Wouldn't because mm-hmm. I need to one follow my intuition and two follow my turn on mm-hmm. and follow my eroticism because that has an innate intelligence that is different than the mental intelligence. And so there's this beautiful weaving that gets to happen that most of the world doesn't know about. It's like the secret sauce where we're stuck in the numbers, but we want to feel fulfilled in a different way. It's like we have to be able to bridge this old paradigm of mental, logical, linear with this, we'll call it a newer paradigm, although it's ancient, we're all wired this mm-hmm. way, this intuitive, erotic, turned on essence, and it's the combination of the two that is the most powerful.
Okay, so what was your awakening like, and then how do we get to this?
Okay, oh god, let's see. I mean, I feel like
just two small questions for you.
Right, I have stories for days.
Good, I'm thrilled. I can't wait. Share it all. Whatever's coming up for you, I'm excited.
The intuitive awakening. I'll start there, and I'll just do it briefly.
Cool.
The divine intervention that happened. I'll tell that story. I was at a yoga festival in Houston. I was living in Houston.
Mm-hmm. Are you a Texan?
I'm a Texan. Okay. I'm Houstonian. I consider Austin home, but yes, okay. I'm a Texan.
Me too. Texan.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. And I was just sitting in a meditation circle with friends as a participant, you know, not leading anything. And somebody sat down next to me and I just gently waved my hand to welcome him in. And I didn't touch him. Mm-hmm. And he shot back and said, "What was that?" I sat on my hands. I was embarrassed. I was like, "I don't know, nothing."
Did you feel anything when you did that?
No.
Or? No.
I wasn't even attempting anything. Mm-hmm. And now this was, I was behind the scenes. I was in the spiritual closet. I was practicing energy work on myself. It was just all kind of coming online.
Got it.
Practicing with close people, but not talking about it.
Okay.
And so he has this visceral reaction to my energy. And then a girl next to him said, no, 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 I felt that too. Take this as a sign. If you're not doing this, you've got to do this. You're a very powerful energy worker. And I was like, okay. And then strangers formed a line and sat down in front of me to receive energy work. And
just right there at that yoga?
Right there in the dead of summer heat, just formed a line, word of mouth. They cried in my arms, one after the next, said, this changed my life. I will never forget this. And had these life-altering experiences. And at the end of the day, I literally threw my hands up and was like, okay, I will do this. And I started doing it on the side while in finance. That was a huge conflict of interest. I had to really be methodical about it. And then I remember one time in my office, beautiful bougie office, I didn't know this then, I know now. It was what some people would call a Kundalini awakening.
Okay.
And I-
Just in your office.
casually, in a pencil skirt, feel like I'm leaving my body. And I was like almost grasping, like floating above my body, all of this energy coursing through me. And all I knew how to do was hit child's pose. So I hit child's pose on the floor and I just start breathing. And that was at a time when I was having a lot of physical symptoms. And at one point I was fainting at work. They called 911. I was taken in an ambulance. Like, it was very physical for me.
Wow. And dramatic. Like,
it was dramatic. Wow. And of course, Western medicine didn't know what was going on because it was energetic. And Western medicine does not look at or consider energetics. Mm-hmm. So fast forward, I leave finance. I move to Austin. And it was leaving that structure and setting myself free in that way that gave me the space to, one, be in nature. Nature is erotic. Nature is erotic. I mean, nature is sex. It just is. It's how things procreate. It's how flowers and bees, and they call it the birds and the bees for a reason. Like, it's just, if you really look at nature, it is the most pure, divine, erotic expression of creation. So when I moved to Austin and I could immerse myself in nature, I started going to the springs every day. And I made a deal with myself that I was going to go topless and I was going to find that comfort in my body to be naked in nature as much as possible and move through the cultural conditioning that says it's dangerous or it's bad or whatever. And it was just that led to the next level of my erotic awakening. And it was a remembrance. I started the way that I channel now. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine me not doing that. It's such a huge part of who I am, but the way I move my body, the way energy moves through me, the way I even pull prophecy or anything that I do, it all comes through the body in this erotic expression. And you know, it was a process to get there.
Did you not used to move like that? Because, like, it was one of the first things I noticed about you, too.
Really?
You
were talking,
yeah. And it's funny. I said, you've met Zaya to Justin earlier. And I go, you know, she, like, moves like this. And he was like, I was like, in Costa Rica. And he goes, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, like, that you definitely, like, it's very graceful. Mm. But it is you, you know? Like,
Thank you. Or
channeling through you. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah, it is. It's the embodiment.
The embodiment. That's
and
perfect.
I was blessed with dancing growing up. I was a dancer. Yeah. Hip hop, ballet,
you were drawn to
jazz.
That because you were like working toward embodiment and expression, you know?
Yes. And I remember at a very young age, middle school actually, being told both by a teacher and by my mom, like, you're too sexy. Or you're a little sex pot. And I was like, I'm just doing the dance that was taught to me, like, by my teacher. Like, I was just doing the dance, but it was so natural for me to be in that kind of erotic innocence because it was innocent.
Now they're going to be like, this all makes sense.
Yes. They're like, oh, sex priestess, got it. Right?
Yes. Okay. So the awakening, nature, here you are.
Mm-hmm.
So you were like, I'll step into using. Yeah. Was your name always Zaya?
No.
I didn't think so.
No. So I treat it as a middle name.
Okay.
Jessica Bird is mm-hmm. my given name. Jessica Zaya Bird. So when I was rebranding a jewelry line mm-hmm. to include energy healing, I didn't want the brand to be about me. Mm-hmm. This is such an ironic turn of fate story. I tried to hide from being the face of my brand for a very long time. And at that time, I was like, okay, well, what is the name going to be? And I sat down to do a mind mapping exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ended up channeling for the first time. And I channeled the name Zaya. And I viscerally felt it. I was writing it over and over again. Zaya, 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 Zaya. And the first question that came to my mind was, is this me or is this my daughter? Because my spirit daughter had started connecting with me at that time. But cool. It was such a, yeah, she's active in my life. That girl crazy. She's leading my life. She has plans.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I love it.
And so the name came in before I knew what it was. And I'm like, oh, great. I kind of got away from being the face of my brand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, fast forward, I moved to Austin and I have an experience where Zaya walked in to my body. And that might sound crazy to some people, but it's,
not here.
Maybe not here. Maybe I'm in the right room and yeah. this is, we're speaking the same lingo. It was basically the larger aspect of my soul that like that frequency is Zaya. And that's what had started to drip through my human Jessica for a while in the movement and the channeling and in the awakening. And it's like that Zaya frequency was really coming into my body because I wasn't yet at a point to be able to hold that high of a frequency. So it was in 2020 that I had a experience of Zaya walking in, and that's when Sex Priestess came online. I was flashing memories in the temples in Egypt, Sex Priestess of Isis, fast forward to the Magdalene lineage, doing it. I just visceral memories
wow.
of this.
Cool.
Yes. And then all of that just kind of coming back alive within my own body. So I took the name Zaya because it literally walked in and people just started calling me that. I still,
cool.
Some people call me Jessica. Some people call me Zaya in my work. People definitely know me as Zaya. And it's just, yeah. So I treat it as a middle name.
Yeah, that's who you are to me.
But yeah, it's who I am to me too.
Well, so you got Sex Priestess. Did that scare you at first or?
A little. It was a homecoming mm-hmm. within myself. The idea of bringing it publicly was like a little bit daunting. But at that point, it was all behind the scenes. It was with my private clients. It was with... You know, I wasn't stepping on stage as a speaker, as a sex priestess.
Right.
That's a different, it's a little bit different. But at that time, it was more of a remembrance and it felt safer because it was kind of behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm.
But this event actually happened at a medicine ceremony, the first and only group medicine ceremony I've ever done. I don't do a lot of...
What medicine?
Psilocybin and MDMA.
Okay.
I'd never done it before.
Mm-hmm.
First time. And I had a lot of hesitation doing that around other people because I'm so energetically sensitive,
mm-hmm.
But I felt called and I did. And so people actually witnessed this whole transmission of me being in erotic transmission, naked, legs spread at the top of stairs of a friend's house. Like that's not something I have done before,
wow.
But it was so natural. And people came up to me the next day and were like, that, we need that. I'm here for it. More of it. We need what you bring. And they're now some of my best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been a process of bringing it more publicly. And now it's like, that's just what my soul is calling. It's all that wants to come through me. It's all I want to talk about. It's what I'm activating in everybody. Because sex, from my experience, sexual energy is the gateway to God, the gateway to your personal power, the gateway to the integrated divine human self.
Is it the gateway or a gateway?
A gateway.
Okay.
The gateway for me right now.
I like that.
Yeah. In my work. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's plenty
right.
of gateways.
Right.
But from an energetic perspective, the core wound that I see in the collective, in the world, is the disconnect from our sexuality and the disconnect from our creative power.
Big time. I mean, we've been talking about that on these episodes so much, and that's why I'm doing this too, right? Because there is that. I recognize it in myself, and I recognize it in society, and I think about my daughters and that kind of thing. When you were talking about coming online with that, I mean, you had sort of a gradual, you know, escalation of it. But at the same time, while you were having all this, you experienced a lot of confirmation, right? Like, yes, from all different directions. Did you ever have any doubt? Because I think that, you know, sometimes a lot of people maybe are stepping into some things that they're led to, but aren't experiencing that level of confirmation. Did you ever have moments when you didn't and you had doubt? Or what would you say to someone stepping into that?
In my experience, the bigger leaps I take, the more confirmation I get.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, because it's, the leap is scary. And that's where the doubt comes in. The doubt usually comes in before you take the leap. Mm-hmm. At least for me and what I've seen with clients.
Yeah.
That's where the doubt, the fear, the hesitation, you go into the mind. When you're in the mind, you're not in your body. Right. You're not in your feeling senses. You're definitely not in your eros. Mm-hmm. That passion, love, sexual, sensual nature that literally animates us, you're not in that. And so I have found that when I take a pause and I choose to step in, or I choose to take the leap. Like, for that leap for me was opening up my energy field to be on psychedelics around a lot of other people. That was a leap for me, because there's a lot of danger in psychedelics that people do not talk about. And just energetically in general. So that was a leap for me. And then that activation that happened was a confirmation. Mm-hmm. And then it was a leap to be naked, spread eagle in erotic transmission in front of strangers.
I'm impressed.
Oh, I mean, shit, yeah. Me too. Like, yeah. My ego was not leading that charge. Like, my ego would not have allowed that to happen.
Right.
But since it was such a big leap for me, I received that confirmation. So that's been my experience, is if you're in doubt, have you actually taken the step yet? Or are you just in that trepidation of, like, wanting the proof before you move forward? Because that, you'll stay stuck forever.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Because you're not going to get the proof. Most of the time. Anyway, you're not going to get
it. Not if you're forging a new path. Not if you're innovating. Not if you're bringing something new. There's no framework for it yet.
Right.
And so true innovation, you have to be able to take the leap. And what I've found for myself is what helps me feel safe in taking those leaps is connecting to my power.
Okay.
And that is that sexual energy.
Let's talk about that. Okay. So what are your recommendations for this? Or how do you start the path for people? Or what would you tell even someone like me that's mm-hmm. already walking the path and,
yeah,
you know, into it? So what are some of your practices, and what are we doing?
I think the first...
Not sure where to start.
Yeah, no, this is great.
Yeah.
I think the first practice that I usually teach and that I return back to time and time again is connecting my mind, my heart, and my sex.
Okay.
And it can be as simple as closing your eyes, breathing.
I'm doing it right now.
Okay.
Are you?
Yeah, I'll guide it.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Let's guide it.
Okay, cool. So close your eyes. Mm-hmm. Take a breath. And on the exhale, bring your energy and your awareness down into your root, your sacral, really wherever you sense your own source of life force, your sexual energy, your life force. This might be in the womb or the penis. This might be the base of the spine, or even in the hip bowl. Might be different for everybody. But tune into that internal source of life force, of sexual energy. And then begin to inhale in. And on the exhale, that energy begins to expand. And just take a few breaths, breathing into the source of your life force. And then once you feel that moving with your breath and your awareness, begin to draw that energy up into the heart, And it might take several breaths to get there. You might start breathing and bringing your awareness and feeling like, oh, it's actually kind of stopping at this certain point. Or maybe it goes right up. But as you breathe and imagine and envision and intend for this energy to rise up to your heart, continue bringing it up through the center line of the body, up through the spine to the crown of the head, and allow that life force, that pure, sensual, sexual, erotic energy, begin to flow through every crevice of the brain. And notice that the brain just kind of melts and relaxes. And then as you continue to breathe, you'll just bring it right back down, this time over the front of your head, through the pineal gland, and then down, back down to your heart, and then back down to your sex. And you can now create a circuit. And on the inhale, the energy rises up all the way up to the head. And on the exhale, it comes back down. And as you do this, you are circulating your own power. And it's running through your body in integrity. It's not skipping the heart and going right to the mind. The heart and the sex are not disconnected. The mind and the heart are not disconnected. As we do this, we're actually bringing ourselves into harmony and into integrity. So it is a closed circuit for our life force to move through. And this practice alone, I do before a meeting. I do before something scary. I do before a date.
I love it.
How did that feel?
Really good. It was very easy for me to go from here to my heart. Mm-hmm. Like it was already wanting to go there. Mm-hmm. My heart's pretty open. Mm-hmm. And so like the energy movement, I have done different ones, but not exactly that. And I really liked it. It's so simple.
It's simple.
Love that.
I think it's so easy to overcomplicate, especially when it comes to sex.
Totally.
Because there's so much taboo and shame and fear. And am I doing it right? And I'm trying to reach this peak experience where it's like, okay, let's just fuck all that for a second. Like just wipe the slate clean. I think simple is where the power is. Because if you give somebody a 12-step process, they're not going to fucking do it.
No, it's, you know what? And I forget. I just,
yeah.
There's so, like I was telling you today when you showed up, I was like, my brain is full of technical bullshit.
Get me out.
Yeah. And like now I just did that and I'm seeing an aura everywhere, wow. Like white. And, you know, I'm starting to dissipate a little now, but
yeah.
Yeah. And I just feel so much more connected and just at peace. But it wasn't challenging. I didn't have to have my mind get in the way of like, wait, do I need to, like, am I, doing this
Am
right?
Doing it right?
Right.
Exactly.
Are you ready to up-level your pleasure practice? I have in mind, and the main things that have helped me are the tools that I've found from Wands. Wands creates luxurious products that encourage us all to honor our body, celebrate our sexuality, and live in pleasure. With more pleasure all the time. One of my favorites, if you listen to this show, then you probably already know, is the cervix wand. Wands has trademarked their number one best-selling glass pleasure wand. It's for vaginal and anal de-armoring, and it's designed for cervical and G-spot stimulation. And let me tell you, it's incredible. It's helped thousands of women become more connected to their bodies and their pleasure, and supports them to heal pelvic pain through self-yoni massage, and helps awaken more pleasure. Just recently, I've ordered the Venus wand, another trademarked wand from Wands, and it's designed to activate and awaken the G-spot and more. Also, don't miss one of their new offerings, which are free bleed blankets that can be used as waterproof intimacy blankets. They have a beautiful selection now available. But take a look around at wands.com, that's W-A-A-N-D-S, because they have a huge selection of incredible items like yoni eggs, crystal pleasure wands in amethyst, black obsidian, anything that your heart desires, and so much more. Check them out at wands.com, that's W-A-A-N-D-S.com, and use my link in the show notes to get 10% off, or simply enter my code, Amy Edwards, at checkout. Again, that's W-A-A-N-D-S, wands.com. Y'all, I have started using Higher Dose products, and I am such a fan. You know I don't put anything on this podcast that I am not 100% completely behind. And I have a special discount code for you for all Higher Dose products. I'm so excited. If you don't know, Higher Dose is a wellness company. They have wellness tech products, they have tools, they have supplements, and they have body care. They have so many things that are hot right now too, that are really biohacking and up-leveling our lives at home, which is really cool. They have an infrared sauna blanket. They have an infrared PEMF mat that I'm so excited to be sharing about soon. One of my favorites though is the red light face mask. It stimulates collagen, it activates glowing skin, reduces fine lines, regenerates cells, and it's soft. It's not like one of the hard plastic ones. So you can kind of move it around on your body, which I've been doing, and I am seeing amazing results. I am absolutely addicted to it. I use it every single night, and I'm using it in conjunction with one of their other products, the Glow Serum. And I'm very picky about what I put on my skin, and I am loving the Glow Serum. It's specially formulated to plump and hydrate and stimulate radiant skin, which that's the goal. They have a ton of other products too, magnesium ingestibles, magnesium body care, which has a healing oil and a serotonin soap that you can use in your bath, which I've been using too. It boosts your mood, enhances your skin, and deepens your detox, gets you calmed down. Anyway, I'm a fan, so I'm so excited to offer you 15% off using my code MAGIC15. Go to the show notes. You can click through on the link right there, or if you go to Higher Dose, just enter the code MAGIC15 and you'll get 15% off. Higher Dose has been featured in Goop, Glamour, Elle, Vogue, Bazaar, Allure, basically you name it. And there's a reason why. So go check it out. It's at higherdose.com and enter my code MAGIC15 for 15% off.
Which is kind of a hang up for me. Am I doing it right?
I think that's a hang up for most people because we live in a mind-based culture.
Yeah.
And so there's a right or wrong. And with eroticism and sexual energy, there's not. However, I will say that most people don't have that internal circuit fully closed.
Right.
Either it's not, there's a disconnect between heart and sex, and they seek sex to fill that void of love. Or they reach for love but are kind of sexually cut off, or you can really feel someone's sexual energy in a penetrative way that's not really invited because there's that leak because they're not able or they don't know how to fully channel that within themselves. So I always teach that practice and get really comfortable in that before we do any sexual activations or erotic activations, because we want that circuit to be closed in your own body so that you're circulating. It's your own, it's your power circuit. You know, think of like a circuit breaking and it just, you know, it's like electricity shoots out everywhere. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening in our body. Sexual energy is like electricity. It is a powerful energy. So I always like to get the integrity of the circuit going first and get that into muscle memory so people can really feel the simplicity and the power of it. And then the next step would be, all right, well, let's
really do that in a minute.
Let's activate.
I want to talk about that in a second.
Okay.
What does that mean if someone is leaking penetrative energy?
Great question. So I'll give some context for like masculine, feminine energetics. Mm-hmm. The masculine energy is a penetrative force. It's the positive, whereas like the proton.
Yeah.
Yes. The feminine is the electron, the negative force, the magnetic. Mm-hmm. And so it's these two polarities that come together in union in sex. And that's how we go from two to one. Mm-hmm. So I view kind of the relationship between sex and God as I see it in the quantum field. I have a strong quantum lens. Is source God is like the zero point, a spark of light. And then this spark of light comes into time and space and bam, splits into positive, negative, masculine, feminine, left, right, up, down, hot, cold, good, bad. That's just the paradigm that we live in. And so that's that masculine, feminine force. So in order to come into union, which I think at a soul level we all crave, union with the divine, union with source, whatever word resonates with you, union with truth, union with love,
yeah,
it's a deep soul desire for.
It's like a longing for.
It's a longing. Mm-hmm. And that's what sex can provide, with this positive and negative force, like magnets coming together in one. Mm-hmm. Where are we going with that? What was the initial question?
Well, we were talking about
penetrative force and leaky energy. So that being said, we all have a masculine and a feminine.
That's why we can do energy. It for ourselves, right?
That's why we can do it within ourselves. And and it's a spectrum that we play in, right? It's just labels. Mm-hmm. It's labels for something ineffable that the brain is trying to understand. So like, we don't want to get too caught up in the labels. And it's helpful to paint a vision and a framework.
Agreed. It's all a spectrum and it's all our own judgments that we're placing upon it. But that's a whole nother conversation.
Totally.
Okay.
So when we are not in integrity within ourselves, mind, heart, and sex, your sexual energy isn't moving through a closed circuit. It's moving through a fragmented circuit. For example, if kind of the collective wound that I see is, again, that disconnect between heart and sex, and that disconnect goes right through our solar plexus, which is our personal power, our self-responsibility, and it's a long time coming that this has happened where, I mean, think back to men going to war. And what did they do? They probably shut down their heart so that they could really be focused and not be distracted by matters of the heart or the family back home. Or if I do this, what about my wife and my kids? It was a smart tactic to kind of move out of the heart and into just that primal penetrative force and the logical strategic mind. Well, back in the day, the temples of Isis, these ancient sex priestess temples, this was where men would come back from war and go be healed in the temples by sexual priestesses to help them heal, to reconnect their internal energetic circuit, to run their eros and their sexual energy through their body so they were whole, so they didn't bring trauma back into civilian life. They could go experience trauma and then be healed and then go back to their families, their lives, whatever that was, so it wasn't passed down. Well, when's the last time we were aware of having sexual priestesses doing sacred sexual work? It's been a hot minute, you know? And so we have generations of men who had gone to war. Think grandparents, great-great-great-grandparents, for example, went to war, came home, had trauma, and that's been passed down generation after generation after generation of this disconnect between heart and sex. Sex is primal. Sex is our primal nature, not just the act of sex. And so that's kind of on the man's side. Well, on the woman's side, how long have we been persecuted for being in our sexual embodiment? The Salem witch trials were not that long ago. And women were killed for simply being in their feminine essence. And a part of the feminine essence is deeply erotic and deeply sensual. And through that, intuitive. That's where the intuition enters the body and we can feel things that we know that don't make sense to the mind. So we can see, right? We can see both men and women, even just very tangibly and culturally, how this we've been disconnected from our power, even purity culture. And what a lot of religion says is, you know, you're single and celibate until you get married. And you're if you have sex, you're tainted. And if men are good, then they have 12 virgins waiting for that, you know? And then for women, if you have sex, you're a whore. But if you don't, you're a prude. Like, no one wins this game. And the cultural narrative around it just continues to cause that disconnect within us, which is an energetic disconnect. And so that penetrative or that leaky energy is because of all of these reasons of being out of integrity, not on purpose, but out of integrity, meaning structural integrity within ourselves, between mind, heart, and sex, that our sexual energy can easily just leak out.
Can you just spot it anywhere? Like,
I feel it.
Really?
Oh, well, being single and dating.
I bet.
I mean, I feel it a mile away.
What does it feel like? Sometimes, can you describe it? I'm just asking, like, if someone's
that's a
wondering,
great
like,
question.
You know,
it's feeling, how do I say that? Predatory. See,
I feel like I've felt it. There's
I'm sure you have.
Little things leap to mind. I think I can remember one of the first times I felt it when I was young. And like, I just remember like, get away.
It feels uncomfortable because it's not invited.
Yeah.
Whereas that exact same energy, like for, I think of a hunter.
Yeah. I mean, if Justin's giving me.
Exactly. Like if a man that I have a mind connection with and a heart connection with then looks at me through the eyes of a hunter, like he is hunting me like his prey, and I feel his sexual energy, that's a turn on.
But
I want it.
But is that leaky or is that powerful?
But that's invited.
Right.
And we have already established a mind connection, a heart connection. The next gate would be the sex to connect there. So the exact same energy from somebody in integrity versus out of integrity feels completely different. And now most people, and I'm a woman, so I engage with men in my romantic life. So those are kind of my personal examples. For a man's leaky energy, that would be either really leading with sex. And you feel it. The way that they talk to you, the way that they approach you, the way that they compliment you, it's different. It's coming from a sexual, like, I want to touch you.
Yeah.
I want to fuck you. I want to be in and with your body. That's very different than somebody coming from the heart or even from the mind when they approach you. So that's how I feel leaky sexual energy often. And it's usually unconscious. They don't know. It's not malicious.
Well, I think that might be the difference too, is the leakiness is like an unconsciousness to it. And you can sense that. And then, well, I don't know, maybe they are conscious about it actually. But and then it's just not invited. Yeah. But but then the consciousness of it, I guess, and the standing in it or something.
Yeah.
So different.
And then on the female side, leaky energy can look like using your sexual energy or your eroticism to manipulate, to get what you want, to draw in, because that's the power of the feminine, is to draw in. And so that's, you know, they might show up in different ways in men and women, but either way, it's a felt sense of leading with sexual energy versus somebody who is embodied in their sexual energy. I can feel their sexual energy and feel their power, but it's not coming at me.
Ooh, I like that.
It's contained within themselves. And that's where I'm like, oh, damn. You're embodied. You're integrated. You're connected. You're in your power. I feel you. I respect you. And that's what I look for in a man.
It's hot.
It's hot.
Yes.
I want to feel like you could kill me, but you won't because you love me.
Yeah.
You know? And I want to feel like I feel your sexual energy, or I don't feel it coming at me, but I know it's there and that makes me want it because you're not leading with it.
So that's getting to the point, right? Being in possession of yourself, possession of your sexual energy, being in, I don't really like to use the word control.
Mastery.
Mastery. Cool.
Mastery.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
and harness. I use the word harness.
Harness.
How to harness your sexual energy. Because if it's not harnessed, it's, you don't know what it's doing.
Yeah.
That's why it's unconscious.
Yeah.
And that's why semen retention for men is such a powerful practice.
Oh, really? Tell me more.
I'm not a man, so I can't speak to it as the person doing it, but I have had several clients, friends, et cetera. I've prescribed this practice. And
what does it look like when you prescribe it? What do you say?
I tell them to do their research and find a protocol that resonates with them, because there's different protocols, and I'm not a man, so I can't speak to it. But usually there's a retain your semen for a certain amount of time, and then you can ejaculate, and then retain, and then ejaculate. The point is that that is your literal seed, your seed of creation, and there's a limited amount of it that you do have. So if you are leaking that seed, one, where's that seed going? What are you seeding? Are you seeding a woman that you feel will flourish from this seed? Are you seeding in a woman that is worthy of holding the sanctity of whatever that is? Or is this all unconscious, you know? And then it ties into business. It ties into money. The most common feedback that I get when they start doing it is, I have more energy. I have more mental clarity. I have more discipline. I'm more focused. It is because you are circulating your own life force. It's the force that creates life.
Do you still have an orgasm?
Yes.
I don't know. I'm not men educated can. On this. Okay.
Men can.
I thought
men
so,
can have but... an orgasm without ejaculating.
Okay. So that's what they're...
And it's learning that to basically flex that muscle.
Yeah. I've got a book about it and I've read some of it, but I don't know that much about it.
So. Right.
Yeah. Well, okay. So let's talk about these activations that you were mentioning too. So... Is there anything we need to cover about retention still? Like anything left? Okay.
No.
We're good there.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk more about when you, then you mentioned, we got to the point of like activations.
Okay.
Before I asked about leaky energy. So we were doing our self-contained, you know, sexual power.
Harnessing your power.
Harnessing our power.
Yes. When it goes to activations, it's more in depth.
Okay.
I usually do, it's in the body. So I do this in group settings and workshops with private clients, masterminds, retreats, erotic awakening, that type of thing. Cool. But I guide people through opening their body as opening their channel. And so just to kind of speak through it, it's usually we start rotating the neck and open that. And then we open the shoulders. And I was a dancer, so I can bring a lot of dance into it. We open our shoulders, our ribs, our hips, and just start to circulate the body open. It's like a corkscrew.
Okay.
It just circulates the body open. Mm-hmm. And then as we get in our body, I drop into erotic transmission, which I can't really do on a podcast, but that's my full embodied bringing through whatever we need to bring through and then coding that in people. Mm-hmm. But I get them to open and embody their own channel first. And then an exercise I did actually at my last retreat was with the feather and blindfolds. Mm-hmm. And we all had blindfolds and a feather. And I did, it was a guided experience of just touching yourself with the feather and allowing your breath to meet the sensation. Because where your breath meets sensation is where you're directing energy in your body.
Oh, I like it.
Right?
Yeah.
It's simple.
So simple.
It's so simple. And when you can really feel that subtle sensation, it attunes you to feel subtle energy. Mm-hmm. And sexual energy can be subtle. It can also be very explosive. Mm-hmm. But subtle energy is subtle. And so as we kind of tune in with the feather and with the breath and we begin to move our own eros in our body, we can then escalate it and move into a state of rapture.
Okay.
I fully believe that women in a state of rapture is the key to liberation for the entire planet. The entire planet. Mm-hmm. Because it's a magnetic force, a creative force, a divine, godly human force. It's like the Big Bang. Think of the Big Bang, just a universe is created. Well, that's what's happening in our bodies when we really start to work with our sexual energy. So when people start to feel that in themselves and learn how to self-source their own pleasure, self-source eroticism, self-source eros and power, there's nothing that's not possible. You move from the field of possibility, which is where the mind lives, to the field of pure potentiality, which is creation, magic, synchronicity, the Big Bang, the void. And so through that state of erotic awakening and rapture, we can hold an intention and hold a vision. And as we feel that energy move through the body, it's fueling that vision. And I'm sure people have talked about sex magic in some of your other.
And I'm me.
Of course. And that that's where it comes in is, yes, you can just be at home and do a pleasure practice and physically orgasm. And that is barely scratching the surface of what you can feel and experience and open in your life and create when you truly activate that deep, erotic, sexual energy in your body. Because a lot of people have physical sex, but they don't feel it energetically.
Sure.
Most people don't have any idea.
I'd say that's more common than not, probably.
Yeah. Like, I remember the first...
I did it for years.
Yeah, same. I remember the first time I was energetically penetrated. And I felt, I call it a god cock. God cock and pussy portal. That's just how I see it. God cock. And I felt it up through each of my chakras, up through my crown. Like, I could feel the energetic penetration and the energetic movement. And I was like, that is what my soul and my body has longed for in sexual experiences my whole life. And I didn't know what I was missing. I thought I was wrong or something was wrong with me for not feeling fulfilled after sex or not. Mm-hmm. And it's like, because at a soul level, I know there is so much more. And I'm such an energetic being, as we all are, that without that, it was like, well, what? Ma, I don't care. It's like once you've tasted filet mignon, Taco Bell just doesn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of my prayer for the world, is to really shed the shame mm-hmm. and the fear and the judgment around sex, to not only feel it physically, but feel it energetically, because literally anything is possible when we're all embodied in our sexuality, connected to our heart, connected to our mind, which means we're connected to God.
I think it's like a way of saying, you know, just tapping into that infinite energy that is the quantum particles,
exactly.
You know, that are just mostly space,
yes.
And just energy that we don't understand, and tapping into that, mm-hmm. you know, because I know now that I've been doing a lot of the stuff that I've been talking about on the show, like I'll reach a state sexually during sex and with a partner or without, I'll reach a state that like basically feels like I'm in space.
Yes.
You know, it's like
you dissolve.
Yeah. You just like sort of, yeah, dissolve or evaporate or whatever, or enter this space state. And I have to watch getting my mind in the way, because then sometimes it's like meditation.
When yes.
I've only had a handful of times where I've gotten to that really moment of energetic space. And then I go, oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. You know, this
over
is
here. Hold on to it. Don't let it go.
Yeah. And so you really just got to like let go of that and just be in that space. But to me, it's like accessing that energetic point, which is like everything that you just said, right?
Yes.
And so then what's possible? Then it's that potentiality.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah. So what have you seen happen from this? Maybe in your own life, maybe with other people.
Great like, question. Man.
I want to hear some like
yeah.
things that have happened. Because
I'm trying to think. I've seen revenue double, triple, quadruple. I've seen
intentionally or just as a byproduct.
Natural byproduct.
Okay. Like a natural result.
Natural result.
Okay.
Natural result. And sometimes it's also an intention.
Yeah.
But I can trace sex to business, to money, to relationship, pretty much anything I can trace back to your relationship with your sexual energy. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a challenge that I give myself. Like, give me something. I want to see if I can trace it.
Yeah.
I've seen – there was a man in one of my masterminds years ago, and he was like, you know, I'm really struggling with purpose. I have all of these business ideas. I don't know which one to choose. And I said, I'm going to give you some unconventional advice. Drop into your balls. Which one do you want to penetrate?
Ooh.
He never came back to Mastermind. He could still feel it and thanked me for it. But he was so focused penetrating this new business idea that's now this – I won't say what it is, but this operation –
I love it.
Yeah. And it
so
was.
Which one do you want to fuck?
Which one do you want to fuck? Truly. Yeah. And then women too. Like, which one erotically turns you on? Mm-hmm. What else have I seen? I've seen people say, I had one client who, again, she was just doing this within herself and was having relationship problems and sex life problems. And are just kind of struggling in that area. And she said, I had the most transformational sex experience of my life. I tasted God. I knew the answers to everything. Everything just dropped in. It's like this transcendental state. Mm-hmm. So I've seen businesses form, revenue increase, relationships come together. I've seen relationships end.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because you're just in different places. If you harness your power and you are with somebody who isn't also harnessing theirs, mm-hmm. or specifically if a woman is harnessing her power and you're not with a man who can hold that.
Oh, for sure.
Or a man is not with a woman who can receive that, mm-hmm. then it's only going to last so long because you're just playing at different levels.
Yeah. I don't know how to phrase this question, but I'm sure you'll figure it out. I wanted to ask something about like honesty and authenticity. Mm. So I guess just speak to that with the sexual power, energetic component.
The first thing that comes to mind is I think most people aren't honest with themselves about their sex, either about their beliefs about sex, their judgments about sex, their insecurities about sex, how sexual they really are, mm-hmm. or how locked up and dormant that might be. I think most people just aren't looking at it and they avoid looking at it. And they're like, that's not a big problem. I'm fine. I'm happy here at the status quo. Mm-hmm. I don't need to go digging or go looking or like, I'm fine either
way. We got all these other things.
And so I think they're not honest with themselves. And if you're not honest with yourself, you can't be honest with somebody else. You can only meet somebody else to the depth that you've met yourself. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of this erotic.
That's good.
Right? Yeah. It's true. Yeah. And I've learned it time and time again.
Me too.
Of being on a pretty expedited evolutionary path, you know,
for sure,
such that I am to teach and lead some of these things. Like, we have to be on an expedited path if we're going to be speaking about it. Mm-hmm. And to be on that expedited path and go through so much growth so quickly, constantly, I'm constantly holding more power and circulating more power and being really honest with myself about what beliefs I have about men being able to meet me there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I bet.
Do I really believe? I know I want it. I know that I have a soulmate and he's my man, my God, man, king, and he is my husband. And I know that. Mm-hmm. And am I really being honest about any other constructs or fears or limiting beliefs I have about that not being possible because of what I see in the world? And so that honesty, it just opens up so much because then I can look at that and be like, oh shit, there's still a part of me that is not on board, that really doesn't believe it's possible for me to be mentally, emotionally, energetically, sexually fulfilled with a partner.
Hmm. And so what do you do to clear that out, or are you just patient with it?
Patience. Both? And I just rewrite the story. Mm-hmm. When I notice.
What does that look like for you, that process?
I notice what belief is operating, and I see that as like the computer program.
Okay.
That's like the coding in the system of the computer that is the mind.
I just saw a TikTok on this, and it was so good.
Really?
I have to find it and send it to you. Okay. Yeah. The girl did both points of it, and she was like, I'm just running the program, you know?
Yes.
And her spiritual self was like, oh my gosh. You
know? Change the program.
Yes.
Exactly. But mm-hmm. we can't change it if we don't see it. And that's where the honesty comes in, is we have to be able to look at ourselves in the mirror and look at our mind, mm-hmm. because that shows us what mental programs are running. And then with awareness, you can just rewrite it. So I recently realized, and it's been layers of
this. Let's
say it's a practice.
Okay, good.
And then, then you can start to see, right? But then you can start to see it tangibly. Mm-hmm. Like, I was seeing where I was attracting men who could meet me on maybe 3 of 4 levels, maybe emotionally, mentally, but not sexually, mm-hmm. or vice versa. And I notice, oh, wait, hold on. There's still something operating because I'm seeing what's coming into my reality. So I've got to shift something in my own mind. And now as I shift that, the biggest transition for me was intentionally looking to see God in every man. Because source, universe, God is infinite. Of course God can hold me. If God is in a man, I can be met on every level, levels that I don't even know exist yet.
But isn't God everything? So everything that you see about everything is actually God.
Yes, and we have free will, and a lot of us disconnect from our own divinity.
Yeah.
And a lot of that has to do with sex. We've been told that sex is not holy. We've been told that sex is not sacred, that God is not in the bedroom, mm-hmm. culturally. And that's where a lot of this God wound comes in. Is like, if I do this, I'm going to hell.
Yeah.
And especially dark sexuality, which I am a huge fan of. And that does not mean bad.
What do you mean?
Dark sexuality to me is the deep primal. It's the stick out your tongue and spread your legs and roar and growl. It's your animal nature.
Okay.
Whereas kind of the light sexuality is like the maiden, the erotic, the love, they're just the two polarities mm-hmm. of, you know, we live in light and dark. So sexuality runs on that same spectrum of light and dark. Think of things that you would only do with the lights off.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, I do everything with the lights off.
So
can it be a red light?
Yeah. Yes, please. Yeah. And so that reclaiming of our primal nature and of our dark sexuality, like how sexual we really are and what our fantasies really are.
I think
that's
it. I think it's really getting in touch with things that you don't want to tell anybody.
Yes.
Those have surprised me, like when I've started to really pay attention, like, oh, like I'm thinking something that I wouldn't share. And so pushing myself to tell my partner that and have it accepted and received and us be able to talk about those things has been really interesting too.
Yes. And I've noticed that connecting women who have a period, connecting to your cycle and to your period blood is a powerful access point to kind of that primal sexuality.
So what does that look like or mean? What do you mean?
There's different ways. I think I'll say this. Most people wear tampons.
Yeah.
It absorbs your blood. You throw it away. Mm-hmm. You don't know how much you're bleeding unless it leaks, or like the size tampon that you use. You don't know what color it is. You don't know what it feels like. You don't feel it drip down your leg, you know, which is helpful. It's very helpful in the world that we live in.
Sure.
You know, but when I started connecting to my period more, I stopped using tampons a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I just don't want anything in me while I'm bleeding.
Interesting.
And personal process.
Yeah.
Personal thing. It's the channel is open.
I like resist using them. Like I'll not want to, but then every now and then I will. But then I'll just like, I'm so honest.
Here we are.
On the show, but so, like I just started having a period again because I had an IUD. So I've really just reconnected with all this in the last year and a half. And sometimes I'll just wad up a piece of toilet paper and be like,
yeah.
Do you ever do that? And like just put it right there. And then I'm like, that's fine.
I started wearing period underwear. It's messy.
Yeah, yeah.
But like
I bought those for my children.
Okay.
But I haven't personally used it. So maybe I should do that.
I love it. I love to free bleed.
Yeah.
That's just me. I'm primal.
So that means, no, I'm into this. I'm glad we're talking about
okay.
this. So that means like just you'll get more connected with what's going on.
Like
I felt so out of touch with it having an IUD. I didn't have a period for like so many years.
So many women. That is the common cultural narrative.
Yeah.
Of being disconnected from it. And it's like, and there's shame and there's embarrassment. And if there's blood on your pants, it's like, oh, that's a thing. Meanwhile, I'm like, fuck this. I want to be on the grass bleeding on the earth. Like,
oh my God, that I love you.
The most natural thing for me. I've actually had scary experiences with that. A vulture swooped down one time.
Holy shit.
I was like, okay, maybe we'll go undercover. Like,
yeah, don't go scuba dive.
Totally.
Yeah,
but yeah. Even like touching it, I put it in my plans. My plans.
I've heard that's great.
But it has connected me to myself. In a deeper way. I feel connected to pregnancy every time I bleed. I feel like I'm birthing death every time I bleed. And it's primal. Wow. It's dark. And I love it. I just want to like bathe in it. And that's the part of that dark sexuality, you know, that I'm like, I want a man to meet me there.
Yeah. Like, why is this bad or whatever? I know.
And I want to be turned on by it.
Yeah.
Because there's men who are afraid of it which is probably reflecting our own disconnect or our own fear. And the more women connect to our own power, the more men are going to learn to meet that. Like, we don't know what we don't know.
That's right.
And
it's natural. And
it's natural.
Like you said, nature being, you know, birds and the bees, like nature is sex.
Nature is sex. And I had an experience once where I was bleeding in a sexual encounter and he went into a bit of a trauma response.
Wow. Wow.
Because blood is associated with injury or abuse or fighting. He's like, I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to hurt you. I'm like, I want this.
You're like, you know? Actually, it's kind of like lube.
Yeah. Like, I'm here for this. But it's, that's not only in his brain, but in his nervous system. Like, yeah. We're wired disconnected from a lot of our primal nature. And when we get in touch with that, a lot of this erotic energy just naturally begins to move. It just begins to open up because we're connecting with the part of ourselves that has held shame or taboo or judgment. We hold a lot of that in the lower chakras.
Yeah. And it's just being conscious about it, right?
Exactly.
Like energy flows where attention goes, you know?
Right. And so when we start to connect with that, sex is just kind of a byproduct. The sexual activation is kind of a byproduct.
I love that because that takes the, you know, achievement.
Yes.
Like that phrase, achieve orgasm. I fucking hate that.
I hate
it. Yeah. And it takes that out of it and just
it does.
Lets it be more of that presence.
Yes.
Instead.
And it actually, like, I'm a huge fan of just being in the orgasmic state. Yes, a peak orgasm is phenomenal, and I'm so here for that too.
Mm-hmm.
But just being in that, the waves of that orgasmic state, which I think most people bypass because they're seeking to achieve.
Yeah, and it's a tough thing to overcome in your mind a little
right.
bit. At least
right.
in my journey, it has been. And I'm like, no, this is it. This is it. And just
and
let
is
that
is this taking too
good,
long
keep,
or... Yeah. This should be happening easier or what? There's all these stories mm-hmm. that go on in the mind, but mainly that's because we are not taught about sex from a woman's perspective. Most sexual research and teachings have been from men.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we live in a male dominated
We live in a male dominated world.
Yeah, totally.
So yeah, women in rapture are going to change the goddamn world.
Let's talk a little bit more about the rapture part of it. Why that word? I like that word.
It came through very specifically.
Cool.
And in a religious context.
It's a cool word because it kind of sounds like what it is.
Rapturous. Exactly. Who doesn't want that?
Yeah.
And rapture and rupture can go hand in hand, but that's mm-hmm. a different conversation. Rapture is interesting because from a religious context, from Christianity, is...
It actually seems like orgasmic bliss there too, frankly. Unless
right.
you're talking about the rapture where
exactly.
it's taken away.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The rapture is when, like, the second coming of Christ.
Yeah.
For example.
Mm-hmm.
And culturally, religiously, that has been painted as a story that God comes down as a man and then those who are holy or whatever go up to heaven.
Just vanish, I think. Yeah.
They yes. They ascend. Yes.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And the way that I interpret it is the rapture is people experiencing a state of rapture. And it is through the state of rapture that we connect with divinity,
love
that
it.
We feel Christ consciousness. That is the coming of Christ through our own body, through our own ecstatic bliss. That is rapture.
I'm 100% on board.
Right?
100%. Like, yeah, I mean... Anyway, Christianity is a whole other conversation, but yes.
Totally.
Yes.
And like, thank you
I
for-
I believe we contain it all. So
yes.
Yeah, God is in us and that is like this rapturous state of being. Beautiful.
Yes.
I love it. And yeah, we already covered kind of creating through that state,
mm-hmm.
right? Really what we were going to talk about today was sexual sovereignty and we haven't even mentioned that word. And
that's
so
right.
I want to touch on that.
Well, luckily for us, we did talk about it a little bit at the beginning.
Oh, good.
We just didn't use the word.
Go us.
So that's the practice that we did of
that's
circulating our energy.
Beautiful.
That's the practice that I teach in sexual sovereignty workshops.
Oh, cool.
That
okay,
is it.
Great.
And then another practice is – and. We do this first because it's really eye-opening for people.
Okay.
First, I'll define it. Sexual, that's easy. Sovereignty is of your own authority. It's just being your own authority. Mm-hmm. And so sexual sovereignty is being, having your own authority over your life force, over your creativity, over your sexual energy. And we, a lot of people don't realize that they outsource that power, outsource their creativity, outsource love, validation, approval, success. They outsource all of these things. That's giving away their power in all aspects of life. So when we begin to self-source our sexual energy, like we did at the beginning, we are coming into our own sexual sovereignty.
Is there an opposite word for sovereignty?
Good question. I don't know.
I was just sitting here thinking like, I don't know what that would be.
To me, I see like a power dynamic of sorts.
Yeah.
Like if there's power over another, that would be kind of the opposite. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that word would be.
Dominance. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's not quite it though.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And there's a separation.
Mm-hmm. And so stepping into that sexual sovereignty is essentially stepping into your power.
Completely. And most people, I won't say most people, the world at large does not connect personal power with sexuality. And I see them as being one and the same.
It's funny that we say the world at large doesn't connect it, because actually sex is so prevalent and permeates
something so we all
much.
Share.
And it's everywhere. Everyone's secretly looking at porn, blah, blah, blah. And so we can say it doesn't, but it's right there.
But it's
so it
distorted.
Kind of does. Yes,
it's
it is distorted.
And it's unconscious.
Yeah. But we clearly want it in some
we
way,
all
shape,
want
or form.
It. Exactly. Well, and we talk about babies being born, but we don't talk about the act of sex
babies
that led
made.
To it. Exactly. It's like,
how much jizz did you let out before?
Right. Or like, where did you conceive? How was that experience for you? You know,
yeah.
Like,
yeah. Where were you?
We don't really talk about that side of things. So like, mm-hmm. Yes, sex permeates culture, but sex permeates culture from the disconnect between human and divine, because we feel like we either are human or we are divine. And if we're sex, we're not God. And if we're human, we're not God. There's this separation. And
I guess the point is that it's there. Like,
it's
there. So why don't we get in alignment?
Fear.
Yeah.
Judgment.
Yeah.
Distortion. There's so much distortion in the world of sex.
And like all the things you said, the old religious, you know, paradigms and all that kind of stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's so interwoven in our psyches and in our nervous systems to where we literally don't feel safe. We just don't feel safe even thinking about our sexual energy or talking about a sexual fantasy.
Well, I mean, look at you too. It's not feeling quite ready to step into using sex priestess.
Right.
Right. So
it
I
took
mean,
a
like,
couple years.
That's like, am I safe stepping into this phase, stepping into this full embodiment of mm-hmm. who I'm supposed to be?
Right. Well, and personal example, I think of my dad, who is a strong Christian.
I wanted to ask. I like to ask that about like how your family has handled this.
My mom has always been my number one cheerleader. Even when she didn't get it or understand it, she felt almost helpless. Like, I want to be there with you and for you, but I don't know how. But she always listened. She was always there. Always.
Love it.
And she's always been there. Dad.
Were you raised in the church and stuff? Like, religious?
Dad, very religious. Mm-hmm. Christian, reads the Bible every morning. Mom, more the tradition of it, wanted us to get the sacraments of, you mm-hmm. know, being Catholic sacraments, whatever they are.
You were raised Catholic?
Catholic with her, Presbyterian with my dad.
So they're not together?
No. They got divorced at a very young age.
Okay.
Yeah. So separate parents. And it's interesting because growing up, I was more comfortable talking to my dad about like dating or boys, or I told him when I smoked weed for the first time also so I wouldn't get in trouble for it. I'm like, smart. But like, he was just more open about it, and my mom was more reserved and like, we don't do that. I think she just had her own fears around being sexually embodied.
Yeah.
As I've gotten older and really stepped into being a healer, an oracle, a spiritual teacher, a sexual priestess, mom has really opened a lot. Like, I've seen how my evolution has impacted my family. Dad, over the years, as he was able to view what I do through the lens of God and Christianity. He sees that in many ways we're saying the same thing with slightly different perspectives, different language, you know. But I haven't talked to him much about the sexual piece. He doesn't ask a lot of questions.
Yeah.
I was at dinner with him and some of his friends once, and they were asking a bunch of questions. I was like, actually, a lot of my work is around, you know, sexuality. And they're like, tell me more. And so I'm talking about it. And I was like, it makes some people uncomfortable. And my dad like raised his hand. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what comes into my head is like, I'm an advocate for sex. Not just the physical act, but obviously the energetics of. Mm-hmm. And can I be so in integrity, so pure, so crystal fucking clear that I can speak about it to anyone, to as many people as possible on a global stage and be in integrity and both feel my divinity and my humanity at the same time? And that is my litmus test. Mm-hmm. And if I can do that, then I'm in full integrity and I am the pure transmission of the truth of sex. And we need that.
And there's a lot in there too about compassion for someone and where they're at.
Of course.
Yeah.
And not needing the validation.
Like, you have to understand me.
Right. And I was there for a while too. Like, yeah, you know, let me convince you, or let me, I only feel safe if we understand each other. So let me try to see how I can get your understanding so that I feel safe in this relationship.
Oh, shit. That's good.
Right. Yeah. And now it's like, well, wait, I don't need anything to feel safe in relation to you because mm-hmm. I'm safe in relation to me, and you can meet me where you'll meet me, but I'm going to be right here.
Yeah, exactly. But that is the definition of sovereignty right there. It's like,
bam, boom. Full circle.
We brought it right back around.
Nailed it.
Boom. Good. That's perfect because we're kind of coming to a close. Okay. And so I want to ask you, you know, anything that's on your heart or anything we didn't get to that you really wanted to talk about today, floor is yours, or anything just coming up in this moment.
Let's see. Interesting. What I'm seeing is an encouragement. And I just really want to drive home that everything in your life can and will transform when you tune into your sexual energy, especially when it comes to money and business. And that's where this topic is a little bit touchier to bring because of HR and
all the considerations.
All the considerations, mm-hmm. which need to be there. But they're just trying to protect against the distortion of sexuality. Mm-hmm. The new model, the true pure model of sexuality is not yet infused in business and finances. And that is where I see economies really being able to shift. New business structures, new economies being born, like on a global economic scale. Mm-hmm. Again, that's why I feel called to this work, is I see that as being the key to instill a new template mm-hmm. so that businesses going forward and companies and, again, economies, I just keep hearing economies, mm-hmm. are running through that pure channel. And it's going to look very different than it does now. But for any business structure that is not equally connected to sovereign power, mm-hmm. like the people in the company, the ethos of the company, if it's not grounded on a foundation of sovereignty, intuitive guidance mixed with logic, and being of service to the whole, it will not last. It won't last. It will crumble. You might start a business and make a couple $1 million and like, or have a heyday, and then it dissolves. But I mean, long-term, like longevity of business economies and what we deem as success, sexual sovereignty is necessary because that is the power.
Mm.
And that's the only way that we're going to individually be able to bring ourselves to the table as an integrated divine human in our own sovereign power, connected to source, our intuition, our primal knowing, all of that. That's what's needed in each individual that forms a company, that forms a foundation, that leads an initiative in the world. And so I really see sex as necessary in those environments. It might just take a little bit longer to get in there. I think it'll start with the individuals in leadership, and their embodiment will kind of naturally begin to infiltrate through corporate structures. Mm-hmm. But I think sexual empowerment for global leaders mm-hmm. is necessary.
Do you think there's sort of a sexual revolution yes. going on?
Yes.
What's that? I mean, I feel like we're sitting here talking about it right now on a podcast.
Right.
You know? So that has a lot of power. A lot of people are doing that. And so, you know, it's tries to be suppressed on social media, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, like, it looks a lot different than ones in the past, maybe in the 60s.
We're not burning panties.
Burning bras. It's
burning bras. That was it.
Yeah, we can burn our panties now. Right, yeah. Let's do that. Let the blood just drip. I don't know.
I love it.
Yeah, but
there's
but
a lot of. Oh, go ahead.
It's like a conscious revolution or something.
A conscious sexual revolution. Mm-hmm. Because I see even with people who, and I've fallen victim to it, who teach on sexuality or speak on this topic, still bringing it through a framework of hooking people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not sovereign. Using this allure, this magnetism to make a lot of money because sex sells. And
oh, that's interesting.
That doesn't mean don't be a gazillionaire. By all means, everyone make all the money and funnel it through a clear, pristine channel. We need it.
Great.
Let's all be wealthy.
All for it.
And sexually embodied.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen it in other people and I've seen it in myself. It can be sneaky. Where it's like, no, I genuinely want to liberate sex in people. And I know sex sells, but how can I be really diligent in my marketing to not energetically hook people and let who I'm speaking to remain in their sovereignty and honor them as a sovereign being? Otherwise, it's really easy to use this topic as the revolution that it is, to just make a lot of money really fast and mm-hmm. not actually make the difference that you intend to make.
Yeah. I mean, it's keeping that ego in check nonstop. I mean, look at cults, you know, like Keith Raniere or, NXIVM and stuff like that, you know, the ego gets out of hand or whatever. And that's just being human sometimes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just I always come back to, it's just a practice, you know, like, and it's, if we can start to really live that, then you're stepping into being honest with yourself and you're stepping into, that's when you're inviting more in and, mm-hmm. you know, clearing space for old, getting rid of old programs.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Does that feel good?
Yeah.
Anything you want to add?
I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah. Feels good to me.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
I loved it. I love you.
I love you too. Awesome. This was a long time in the making.
I know.
I'm so glad it happened now.
Now.
Yeah. It was perfect time.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really funny how that happens, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love it.
I do too. And so thank you so much for doing this, because I know you've been on a bit of a vacation. So you took a moment to work.
When work is play, it's hard to turn down. Right.
So thank you so much for doing this. And how can everyone find you, access your content, possibly work with you?
Yes, yes. Thank you for having me. This has been wonderful.
Oh my gosh. You're welcome back anytime. Open door.
Oh, perfect.
Yes.
I'll bring a new topic.
I don't
say
that to everyone. Nobody.
I feel special.
If I haven't said it to you and you've been on the show, you're probably invited back.
How can people reach me? Zaya the Oracle. So mm-hmm. ZayaTheOracle.com.
Z-A-I-A.
Z-A-I-A. Mm-hmm. I imagine we'll put links in the show notes.
I will. It'll all be in the show notes.
Yeah. Instagram, I'm active there. And I have actually an online course called Quantum Sex Codes.
Cool.
And oh my God, it is the sex ed that I wish that I had and that I think the world needs. both within yourself and kind of with a partner, going into dark desires and all kinds of things. It's super fun. So that would be the place to go to like dig deeper into this work. Otherwise, all the socials.
Beautiful.
YouTube, the whole nine.
Have you been to Egypt?
No, I've been. I've looked into it several times. It just hasn't aligned. So it just hasn't been my time yet. Yeah. But I do a lot of in my own channeling state. Uh-huh. There are certain temples I visit a lot.
Cool.
But I haven't been there physically.
I'm going. I know. We're going in December.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Mm-hmm. I'll have to share the trip with you. Yeah.
Yes, please.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited.
That might be
I've been wanting to go for so long.
Yes.
So, yeah.
It's I want to go when I know that I have at least like a month.
Yeah, you need to go just
of not just process. To integrate, to process it all. Like, I'm going to be blasted. So, yeah, I need any time on the back end.
I know. Who knows what might happen?
It'll be
like, she's in there with her legs spread and she's naked. We're just channeling.
Got to do it.
I love this. Thank you so much. Yes. And thank you for everything that you shared. Thank you for being here. Everyone, go follow Zaya. And thank you for being here, because you are opening up. It's like we talked about attention. Energy flows where attention goes. It's like that moment of just paying attention to it. And she was saying, it just opens up. It just starts to get better. I was reading A Course in Miracles. Okay, no, don't get too excited. The like dummies book, you know, the like interpretation of it. But they were saying, even if you read that book and you don't understand it, it doesn't matter, because it's getting in there. You're spending time in that space. And I thought that was so interesting, because I think it applies right here. Even if something, you forget it or whatever, you still were here. It's still getting in there. And that's where you're going to experience growth, even when we're not necessarily so conscious about it. And then you maybe start to get more conscious about it. So anyway, thank you for being here. Thank you to our guest, Zaya. Go follow her. Everything's in the show notes. I love you so much. Sign up for the newsletter and check out the rest of the sex series. It's drawing to a close pretty soon, but I'm so excited about this batch of content. I think it's so fabulous. So thank you so much for being here. I love you so much. Till next time.
This has been the Amy Edwards Show from Overcome Studios. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe. And thank you so much for being here. Sign up for our newsletter at amyedwards.com.